So over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be in a two-part Christmas series entitled A Magnificent Christmas. And the passage we will be in may not be one that most people immediately jump to when they think of Christmas. Now, it's in the context and it's in the chapter and in the overall passage of the Christmas story, but it may not be the first place you jump. In fact, to illustrate this, I actually asked some of my friends and some of my family members about places they would go in God's Word when they think about Christmas. Like, what would you point to? Like, what's a story or a passage? And here are some of the answers I got. Yeah, Luke was one. Gabriel appearing to Mary to announce the birth of Jesus. We just talked about that in the purchase morning. But that was one. The actual birth of Jesus, right, the account, that narrative, that was another. Maybe a prophecy foretelling the birth of Christ. Et cetera, things like that. And those are all great. And you would expect that that's where somebody would immediately jump when you ask them about Christmas. These are your typical depictions, what people think about. They think about these stories, right? They think about the announcement of the birth of Christ, the actual birth of Christ, or maybe a prophecy foretelling the birth of Christ. That's what people think of when they think of Christmas. The birth of Christ, the angel appearing to Mary, the Messiah prophecies, messianic prophecies, and all of those are very, very good things. And I don't know about you, but I love every Christmas morning reading the account of Jesus' birth. Just what a beautiful way to start Christmas morning. But over the course of these next couple weeks, we're going to be spending time, we will be in Luke, we will be in Luke chapter 1, and we will be looking at a passage between when the angel appears to Mary depicting or announcing the birth of Christ, and then also in Luke 1, the birth of John the Baptist, right? There's a passage right in the middle of that we're going to be spending time in. And if you are familiar with Luke 1, you know about when Mary goes and visits Elizabeth. Once she arrives, the baby in Elizabeth's womb, who we know to be John the Baptist, leaps for joy in the womb in the presence of the Messiah. You then get a song from Elizabeth praising the one who is in the womb of Mary. In fact, as we begin this morning, I want to read the passage beginning with Gabriel appearing to Mary through this entire encounter with Elizabeth. And I want to do so because I believe it sets the stage for where we're going to be spending today and next Sunday. The verses will be on the screen, but join me in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what God had spoken to her by the Lord. So these accounts, this whole passage sets up where we're going to be. We're going to split Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55 into two separate messages. This section is known, and it may even be a heading in your Bible, in your copy of Scripture, as the Magnificat. As the first line Mary says is this, "My soul exalts the Lord." Other translations will say, "My soul magnifies the Lord." That's where that title comes from. And once we dive into the reasons why Mary is saying this, like why can she say, "My soul magnifies the Lord," we will truly see what makes Christmas magnificent and why we're calling this a magnificent Christmas. Because the Lord has come with his salvation. This morning, we will see the first part of what makes Christmas magnificent, which is this, a reason for praise. Mary had a reason for praise. We today have a reason for praise as we celebrate Christmas. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just we want to praise you, Lord. When we think about what we just sang about, Lord, and how we worship you and what it is we celebrate, Lord, what we really should be celebrating all year long, Lord, but what we celebrate in this season, Lord, Jesus Christ, God himself, Lord, you coming down and bringing salvation to us, Lord, and part of your plan, this has been part of your plan from the beginning, Lord, your salvation, the redemption to redeem us. Lord, we want to give you all the praise this morning. And as we read your word, Lord, I pray that the reasons that we have to praise you this Christmas season, Lord, doesn't just stop and end December 31st or December 25th even, Lord, but it goes far beyond that, Lord, for truly these reasons for praise and the reasons that make Christmas magnificent transcend, Lord, just a holiday. It transcends just a few weeks of the year, Lord, but it truly is the reason we are here, Lord, and it truly is the reason that we will be with you in eternity. Lord, we praise you, and we just praise you for your word that we're going to be seeing this morning, Lord, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Let's look at Luke 1, 46 through 55. Let's look at the whole passage, and then we'll dive into where we'll see this morning. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. And he has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." This morning, we're going to focus on part one, verses 46 through 50. But there are a few details in the big section leading up to this that we just read that are extremely important for the background of this song from Mary. It is in the time frame that Mary went to visit Elizabeth, we established that, which happens in the immediate or somewhat immediate aftermath of Gabriel appearing. So we have Elizabeth's song, which we read, where she gives praise, and now we have Mary's song. That sets this up because it's in the immediate aftermath. There's a lot of praising, there's a lot of songs, there's a lot of truly reasons to praise God. There's a lot happening. Praise the Lord. If you go back just to that part in those verses, you read this. "When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy.' And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Now, I read that again because it truly magnifies the Lord. It's not Mary being magnified here. It's not Elizabeth being magnified here. It is the Lord that is being magnified here. It is the Lord's word that is coming to fulfillment. It is the Lord who is coming. And we even know from when Elizabeth conceived. Now, we know it's a mighty work of the Lord that Mary conceived, but even with Elizabeth and her conception, it was a mighty work of the Lord. It is a mighty work of the Lord that we are reading about as we lead up to Christmas. Remember, the angel told Mary that Elizabeth, even in her advanced in year state, right? That's the kind way of putting it, would bear a child. And then Luke 1:37, for what? Nothing will be impossible with God. Do not lose sight of that statement. And how both of these conceptions, Mary and Elizabeth, everything going on, everything how God's plan is working out in a way that only God can bring about, which is why he is the one who is worthy to be magnified. This is the backdrop for the Magnificat, for Mary's song. God's plan is in full motion, as it's always been, but now we are rapidly approaching the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first coming. And even Mary's song here in Luke also contains language very similar, even a parallel, because it's just filled with Old Testament references, Old Testament theology. It's very similar to Hannah's song of thanksgiving in 1 Samuel 1:1-10. Look at those verses. They'll be on the screen and see the connecting language, the similar language to what is contained when Mary praises the Lord, gives her praise. Then Hannah prayed and said, my heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bowels of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars out of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. And he will give strength to his king and will exalt the horn of his anointed. All of God's word, whether it's in 1 Samuel or whether it's in Luke 1, exalts and magnifies who? God, the Lord. Similar language indeed, and this is important because Mary's song, like I said, contains numerous quotes and references to God's word via the Old Testament. Theology that points to the Messiah that is fulfilled in Jesus. So when everyone says that he is the reason for the season, it's actually true. I mean, believe it or not, it's true. But people just say that half-hearted, he's the reason for the season, but seriously, he really, truly is. But what makes Christmas truly magnificent, because remember, that's our title, can be found in what Mary says. This morning, a magnificent Christmas is such because of the reasons that we have to praise God and the reasons that Mary had to praise him. Next week, it will be the reason we have for hope. And you'll see in Mary's words, she is not divine as Catholics would have you believe. Because her words of praise actually look quite similar to how we should be praising. And you will see through our text this morning how Mary even acknowledges her need for Savior and the salvation that the Lord brings. Amen. Yes, she is bearing Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, but she is human and she recognized her very need for a Savior, her very need for Jesus, and she recognized who God is. This morning, we will see two reasons for Mary's praise, reasons that I would argue this morning, right now, this Christmas, may they be your reasons for praise as well. Reasons that make Christmas magnificent. And that word magnificent, we don't want to use that over and over and over again with really establishing what it truly means, right? And if you were to just do a little Google search on the word magnificent, you would get impressively beautiful. Is the Lord God impressively beautiful, elaborate, extravagant, or very good and excellent? I would say so. Is Jesus coming? Is his salvation that he gives very good and excellent? Amen. I would hope so. I need some more amening. Is Jesus coming? Is his salvation very good and excellent? Amen. Amen. One reason is because, like I said, the salvation that he brings. That's the first reason for praise in this section. Praise God for salvation. Praise God for salvation. Now, this is true every single day, and this will be true for eternity, but this Christmas, let's really focus in and praise God for salvation. Look at Luke 1, 46 through 48. And Mary said, My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave, for behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. As mentioned earlier, right, this is referred to as Magnificat, the beginning, which comes from magnify, which many translations will translate the word exalts into magnify. Because what's the first thing she says? What is the first thing she says? My soul exalts the Lord, right? That's the NASB's translation. But like I said, other translations, my soul magnifies the Lord. We see immediately where Mary's focus is. We aren't here to magnify Mary. And Mary was not there to magnify herself. She was there to magnify the Lord. We are here to magnify the Lord. Amen. In his name. That's where her focus is, on the Lord. And the very way that Mary speaks brings to mind the words of Psalm 34:2. My soul will make its boast in who? The Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. So in Psalm 34 and here, the boast, the praise, the exaltation is lifting up the Lord, who he is, and is lifting up his name. And this word for exalt, magnify, or some even translate it glorify in other places, is the same word that is used in Acts 19:17. Acts 19:17 says, "This became known to all, both Jews and Greeks who lived in Ephesus, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was being magnified." Right? An expression of praise that puts God at the center, just as he is at the center of Christmas. Right, we aren't here. I mean, the traditions, the Christmas trees, all that is, those are great traditions, but we are truly here. We truly celebrate Christmas because of Jesus Christ. That's what we are celebrating. That's what makes Christmas. He is the one who makes Christmas magnificent. But the true praise comes next. This is just the expression of praise, right? Mary is magnifying the Lord at the beginning, but the grounding for her praise, what she bases her praise off of, comes in verses 47 and 48. "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed." I just have to say that this is interesting, right? Because we already know that Mary is magnifying the Lord. But isn't it interesting that Mary, who some to this day will see as divine or as a co-redemptress, that she's recognizing her need for a Savior. That she's saying, my God, my Savior. See, Mary was chosen to bear a son, right? We read those verses, how Gabriel came to her. She was favored. She would bear a son, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. But she praised God, her Savior, as a result, because this is coming on the heels of her coming to Elizabeth, which was coming on the heels of Gabriel appearing to her. In this statement, she is fully showing her belief and her view of God, not as an equal, not as a fellow divine being, but as her God, as her Savior. And this connects to what we later see in Luke chapter 1. Luke 1, verses 69, 71, and 77, right? This continues on about just who is coming, like who is this child that she is bearing, right? Verse 69, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant. And then verse 71 in Luke 1, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Verse 77, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Right? This is just a few verses down the line in Luke. You see the theme? What's a word that is contained in those verses? Salvation, salvation, salvation. And in verse 47, Mary is rejoicing in her God, her Savior. It also echoes language found in Deuteronomy 32:15, which also mentions God of my salvation. So when we think about Mary's praise and what is one reason that she would have to praise the Lord, well, she's acknowledging on the front end, her soul magnifies the Lord, but also my God, my Savior, my spirit rejoices in him. This is the bedrock, right? The foundation of Mary's praise. Through Jesus, through the child that Mary is going to bring forth into this world, salvation has come. Right? Mary would be called blessed, verse 48, not because of her status or because of some divine picture or characterization of her, but she would be blessed because of the child that she was carrying. It's all about Christ. It's all about the Lord. In fact, verse 48 contains the phrase, from this time on. Other translations say, from now on, right? So from this time on, from now on, generations will count me blessed. We just mentioned the why, right? Because it's Christ. But when this language is used, especially when Luke uses this phrase, Luke tends to tie it to a pivotal moment in the history of salvation or redemption, slash redemption. A couple examples, Luke 22. This is a verse we read at communion a lot. 22 verse 18, for I say to you, this is Jesus, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. We're looking at the future. Also in Luke 22, verse 69, but from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. So these are two moments later on in Luke that point towards the kingdom, towards the reign of Christ. See, from now on or from this time on is a very intentional usage of Luke, and we see it all the way back in Luke 1. So now when you take this first part of Mary's praise, and Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. She is truly praising God for the salvation that he gives. She knows, right? Because when Gabriel appeared to her, Gabriel tells her who Jesus will be. The salvation that will soon come. We sang earlier, come thou long expected Jesus. For we know that Jesus will what? Save his people from their sins. So when you think about Christmas and what makes Christmas magnificent, right? Impressively beautiful, very good and excellent. And you think about a reason for praise, well, think about this. Look no further than praising God for salvation. Praise God for salvation. Right? That's the first reason for praise, right? We see Mary, she's recognizing her need. For my God, my Savior, like just rejoicing in that, like she knows. And she's praising God for it. Do we praise God for our salvation at Christmas time? I mean, we talk about praising God often for our salvation, but truly, when you think of everything about Christmas, think about why we celebrate. Why we sing the songs that we do at Christmas. Why we sing joy to the world. Why we sing joyful songs and just everything about Christmas truly comes to the heart of, here is our Savior coming. That's the first reason. Second reason to praise God, and another reason that makes Christmas truly magnificent is this. Praise God for his character. Amen. Praise God for his character. Look how Mary continues on in Luke 1, 49 through 50. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. Side note, when you think of Christmas, like, I know God's character is heavily entwined with everything about Christmas, everything that we read, everything we think about, even those reasons at the beginning, but truly it's like, wow, like everything that goes into Christmas and how God works this out and his plan and just what an amazing expression of his character. But in these two verses, what do we learn about God and his character through Mary's song? Well, just to name a few, he is the mighty one, he does great things, he is holy, his name is great, he is full of mercy. That's just in two verses. Mary, through her song, is glorifying God and magnifying his power, his holiness, his mercy. Do you think about these things? Do you think about them at Christmas time? How often do you think about the mighty one who has done great things? Holy and great is his name, his mercy that is immense. Do you think about these things often? I mean, we know the story. We've read the verses, sure, at Christmas time. And we have images that pop into our mind when we think about Christmas. Side note, no eggnog. This is an eggnog-free zone here, but I know some people like eggnog, so that's why eggnog's not up there. But we all have Christmas images, right? These Christmas season images. But maybe the true images that need to pop into our mind are about God's character, right? His holiness, his power, his mercy, all of which are displayed in a big, big way through what it is we celebrate at Christmas. Mary knew it, and she was praising God for it. God has done great things. Mary is in the middle of one of God's most great, perhaps his greatest doing, one of the displays of his majestic power. In Scripture, God doing great things is an example of his power because he's doing things that only he can do. And here in Luke, it is the virgin conception of Jesus. Next week, we'll see more of the great things and how Jesus coming is the fulfillment of prophecy and gives the reason for hope. But think about this when it comes to a mighty work of God. Just break this down even further about what's going on in this context. In Luke 1, we read about two pregnancies, right? Elizabeth and then ultimately Mary's. Listen again to this exchange between Gabriel and Mary in Luke 1, earlier in Luke. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." What theology wrapped into those verses. "And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month." Just think about, if you were just thinking about Mary and how Gabriel appears to Mary and what Gabriel says to Mary, that would be a miraculous, powerful work of God. Amen? Amen. And if you just took Elizabeth and her conception, you can read about that earlier in Luke 1, how Zach appears to Zacharias and how that comes about and how it's described here. If you just took that, that's also miraculous, and that's also a mighty work of God. Amen? But then now you're taking, and it's both together at the same time, because we know John the Baptist would prepare the way of the Lord. All of this, is this not an incredible display at one time of God's power, of how God does great things? If you were to just stop at verse 36, you'd be like, wow, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But wait, there's more. What does verse 37 say? We saw it earlier. For nothing will be impossible with God. Amen. As if it needed to be said, but we need to be reminded of that, I think. For nothing will be impossible with God. There you have it. That settles it. Nothing will be possible with God. Merry Christmas. Amen. 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 Then at the end of Luke 1:49, right back to Mary's song, we see his power, mighty works, mighty things, the great things he's done. We also see how God's very name, his very person, is holy. His holiness, his moral perfection. And when you think about and remember about what is happening here, how it fulfills prophecy, how it fulfills God's promises, right, his perfection, his greatness, no word of God is ever going to fail. So truly great is his name. Great is the Lord. Amen? Amen? And remember the Lord's promise? If you go all the way back to 2 Samuel, to David, 2 Samuel 9, beginning in verse 12, when your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And then the words of Isaiah 6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. See, these promises, these fulfillments tie directly into God's character because it shows how great he is, how faithful he is. His word does not fail as he comes to Mary and how he works through Mary and how he brings about how all of this is going to happen, even John the Baptist's birth, all of this that we see in Luke 1, everything we see in the Old Testament is coming to show how awesome is our God. That is who he is. He is faithful. He is great. He is holy. He is merciful. His word doesn't fail. He is the one who does mighty things. He is holy. He's merciful. I mean, like I said, I just said those things, but let's repeat them. He's holy. He's merciful. And that is how he is described in Luke 1, verse 50. His mercy. His mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He's full of mercy, generation after generation, but only toward those who fear him. You see, when you hear this, when you read this passage, when you understand who God is, when you hear about who God is, and when you understand that, there is an appropriate response to what God has done and who he is. You can't just hear this truth and be like, no, there's praise here. Mary praises him. We should praise him. This shouldn't just be like, okay, well, you know, okay, that's cool, good truth, heard that before. No, that's not our response to God's word. That's not our response to who the Lord is. There should be a reverence. There should be an awe, especially that word awe, like, oh my word, this is the Lord. That's a lesson we can take away from this entire section. Mary's song, the Magnificent, hearing the truth, the revelation of God. Literally, the very first, one of the first lines, my soul magnifies the Lord, amen. Makes him great. Is he worthy to be magnified? Amen. If you want a magnificent Christmas, because everyone loves that word magnificent, everyone wants a magnificent Christmas, look no further than to see the reasons to praise God just as Mary did. Praise God for his character. It is all over the place in God's word, but it's also right here so much about the Lord in what we would call the Christmas story and in the lead up to that. Praise God for his character. And before that, praise God for salvation. I mean, what are we even doing? I mean, this is what Christmas is about. Every year we sing about the joy and triumph of Christ coming during Christmas time. And it is absolutely true we should be doing that, but we should be doing that with hearts that truly believe and love and see how amazing and magnificent what it is that we are singing. Amen. This Christmas, think about God's entire redemptive plan and how the birth of Jesus Christ shows God's character, how it shows his salvation. Does that give you a reason for praise? Do you have a reason to praise God this Christmas and this morning? Does that thought make Christmas a truly magnificent thought to you? Impressively beautiful. Very good or very excellent. Does it cause you to praise God for the salvation that he gives, like Mary did? Does it cause you to praise God for his character, like Mary did? We know Mary isn't divine, and we know she isn't a co-redemptress, and she has a very unique spot in a very unique space in the fact that she is the one bearing Jesus, but the things that she's praising God for here and her soul magnifying the Lord and how her spirit rejoices and her God, her Savior, our God, our Savior, I mean, are those things that we can't praise God for those things? No. We can magnify the Lord. We can praise God for being our Savior. We can praise God for his name, for his character, for the mighty and great things he's done. In Luke 1, 46 through 50, she is praising God just as we should be. My soul exalts the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. How do we do this? How do we take the reason that we have for praise, right? Salvation and God's character. And how do we do that? How do we magnify him as a result? Well, the word for exalt or magnify literally means to make great. I mean, I know some of my perch people in here, we may not know what this is, but anybody know what a magnifying glass is? I mean, I know it's an old thing, so I don't want to like what's the point of a magnifying glass, right? You're really looking at something and you're trying to blow it up or trying to see it better, trying to see it clearly, literally make it great. Zoom in. So literally, when you talk about magnifying or exalting the Lord, it's literally, my soul makes the Lord great. Do others see that in you? Because make no mistake, when you read Mary's praise, when you read Mary's song, the Magnificat, you know who she's making great. But does your life reflect a life that makes the Lord, that makes Jesus great? One would have to think that during Christmas time, the world may be more willing to hear the message about Jesus Christ. They may be more willing to hear about the gospel. In fact, I think I shared this even in the perch this morning, but if you were to browse through just any secular radio station playing Christmas music, the one that just, 24 hours a day playing 5 songs over and over, but no, seriously, think about a secular radio station. You're going to hear songs about Jesus. You're likely to hear songs, Silent Night, Joy to the World, in about 50 different renditions of both of them. Which makes this season different than any other. Because even though, we have Easter, we have Christmas, but even at Easter time, you're not hearing a secular radio station play songs about the resurrection of Christ. But you will hear that during Christmas time, talking about the birth of Jesus. So it's a very unique time in the year. It makes this season different than maybe any other. You may have opportunities right now for just a couple weeks with coworkers, with friends, with family, and with neighbors to share Christ, to share the reason that you have for praise, the reason that makes for a magnificent Christmas. So as we look for ways to magnify the Lord, let me suggest 2 ways this week. Specific, very specific ways. The first way is this: make the Lord great in your life make his name great, magnify him by sharing his greatness with someone. See, one of the reasons that Mary had to praise God was for the salvation he gives and was about to bring forth through Jesus Christ. And my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. And then she goes on to say how generations will count her blessed from that time forward, from that time on. She knew the Lord. She knew who was coming, Jesus, and what he would do. It was told to her by Gabriel. And her spirit rejoiced in God. But let me ask you this. Is someone truly rejoicing in God and rejoicing in the salvation that he gives? If you're sitting on that and you're not sharing him or telling others about him, sharing the gospel? I mean, if you're rejoicing about something, if you have great joy about something, people are going to know. Have you invited anyone to church for Christmas? Yep. The Christmas Eve service? If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a reason to praise him and you have a reason to share his greatness with somebody. And when you know what we mean when we celebrate Christmas, you know it makes it truly magnificent. So with all of that being true, if we love the message, if we think the message is magnificent, if we're rejoicing in the message, why would we be sitting on it? Especially in a season, in a time where people may just be a little bit more receptive. Maybe. So who out there could we be sharing and who out there could we be inviting? We should be year-round, but let's focus on doing so, especially intentionally, in a very intentional way, the rest of this month as we lead up to Christmas. You have next Sunday, then we have Christmas Eve, and we have Christmas Day. This week, we'll just start small. We'll start one. Who is one person in your life that you know that you can either share the gospel with, engage with, or even invite to church during this Christmas season? Let's magnify the Lord in our lives by sharing with somebody the salvation that he has brought, that he has given. And what better way to do that? I mean, we rejoice, we praise the Lord for that, but what better way to do that than by sharing that and engaging someone else for Jesus Christ? And then the second way. Make the Lord, magnify him, make him great in your life by identifying, this is going to be very specific, 5 things about his character that you love and that you want to give him praise for. Right? You can do it daily, right? One a day, right? Monday through Friday. Monday morning, here's one thing I want to praise the Lord for about his character. Tuesday morning, or you could do it all at once. But why do this? Why do this at all? Well, it sets our mind and it sets our focus on him and on his character. And this is something that truly, through the preparation of this message, I had to remind myself on, right? Setting our mind and our focus on him and his character. I would truly hope that everybody here could find 5 things at least. I mean, we could find 500 and still go on, but 5 things that we can praise the Lord for about his character. I mean, there's 5 things right in this text. Amen. Right? In these verses alone, we see God being praised for his power, his holiness, his mercy. There's 3. Even just by reading through the passages that we will typically and that we will read through at Christmas, there are so many things about God's character to give him praise for. And what a time of the year to do it. When you see the word joy. Where does that joy come from? Even in our passage this morning, and even what we'll see next week, there are so many just things and quotes and allusions to the Old Testament, which just highlights God's faithfulness and how his promises and his word are fulfilled. There are so many things. So be very intentional this week. Be intentional. This looks like sharing and inviting somebody in your sphere. It looks like identifying 5 things about God's character that you want to praise him for. What a great lead up to Christmas when you think about, I'm going to praise God for his character, and I'm going to praise God for his salvation by engaging somebody for Jesus Christ. Could you imagine if the church, both here at EC Grace, here in our body, and the church as a whole intentionally sought to magnify the Lord by sharing the salvation he gives and praising him for his character? Can you imagine if we spent the Christmas season doing that? We should, like I said, this shouldn't just be limited to this time of year. It should be something we do all year long. But this is the time of the year that we're in. What would that look like? What impact would that have? How could God use that? I mean, God's going to work anyway. But what impact could it have to see the church sharing Jesus Christ? Every opportunity that presented itself. Would the Lord be magnified? Would he be made great? Do you want to make his name great? Do you want to magnify him? Amen. Isn't that what we want? I think that's what we want. As Pastor Aaron said last week, though, we can want it, but then there's the doing it. There's the pursuit of it in anything. But we do have tremendous reason to praise this magnificent Christmas. Do you have a reason to praise God this morning? Anybody here have no reasons they want to praise God for? Nothing? No, I think everyone has a reason. So we have the want. So let's do it this Christmas. Let's be intentional this week about this. Next week, we're going to explore how we have a great reason for hope as we continue on through Mary's song. But think about those two words. Praise today, hope next week, praise and hope. What great words that are synonymous with Christmas, amen. And it's synonymous with Christmas because of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we close in prayer this morning, just think about that. Think about praise, the reasons to praise the Lord, but also the hope that he gives. And this is why we seek and want to be intentional, by praising him and by sharing him with others. Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you. Lord, we want to praise you, Lord, but I pray that we are praising you, Lord, and not just saying we're going to do it, Lord, but actually taking the opportunities, being intentional, praising you for your character, for your salvation, rejoicing in it so much, Lord, that we want to share it with others. And Lord, I pray that we intentionally seek the opportunities to do so this season especially, Lord, where the world around us may be more receptive. Lord, they may be hearing songs, they may be seeing images, visuals, Lord, that whether they realize it or not, Lord, plants Jesus in their minds. And Lord, we pray that this is used for salvation, Lord. And I pray that we're intentional with family, with friends, coworkers, neighbors, Lord, anybody we come across. Lord, we want this. Lord, we desire this. Lord, I pray that we will be doers of this. Lord, we want to magnify you this morning, and we magnify your great name, and it is in your name that we pray. Amen.